In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It is very good to be back at Holy Cross, and it's good to see many familiar faces, and also good to see faces that I don't recognize. The last few weeks have been exhausting. If you are a student, school is in full swing. There are midterms, sports practices, music lessons, social interactions to navigate, papers, and other homework. If you are a parent of a child, there is the incessant shuttling and managing not only your own busy schedule, but the kids' schedules too. If you are someone who goes to Holy Cross, then you know the program year is well underway, but with the little added chaos of saying goodbye to a beloved leader of the congregation and getting used to that change. If you are anybody who lives in Northern Virginia, there is traffic, much news of development in the place formerly known as Tyson's Corner, and the ever hectic reality of living close to the nation's capital, with the shutdown affecting hundreds of thousands of local workers, protests, and unstable behavior manifesting in self-immolation and deadly car chases from the White House to the Capitol. Not to mention the fiscal brinkmanship, which put the world teetering on the edge of economic calamity. I don't know about you, but I'm tired. The kicker is that all that stuff mentioned above is just the stuff that's happening in our immediate neighborhood. There always seems to be more happening on a personal level. Maybe some of us are dealing with grief, the loss of a friend or a parent or a relationship. Maybe some of us are dealing with anger of a bad diagnosis for ourselves or a loved one. Maybe some of us are worried about when or if we will ever be able to retire, or infertility, or an impending move, or questions of personal meaning. Maybe some of us are being haunted by something that we thought we put to rest years ago, or maybe it's the ramifications of addiction. More likely than not, we're dealing with more than one of these things happening at the same time. There are some points in life where we stand back, look at it all, and say, "Wow, Jesus, I can't take one more thing, I just can't." And that's when the phone rings. This morning, we heard a parable about a woman, a widow, who couldn't take one more thing. We don't have the woman's backstory, but we know three important things about her life. First, she was a widow. At this time and place, being a widow meant not only losing your husband, but your social identity and your financial security. Widows had no standing and were completely dependent on their husband's extended family to provide for them. If her husband's family wouldn't or couldn't take care of her, and she was too old to remarry and bear sons, then the only thing that stood between her and starvation was the law. There were parts of the law which provided protection for widows and orphans, although they were too often ignored. The second thing we know about this widow is that she has a legal problem. And being a widow, she can't afford to let this situation slide. She's desperate. The third thing we know about the widow is that she has one more problem. In addition to being a widow and having a legal issue, she has a really crummy judge. The parable mentions twice how terrible this judge is. The judge has no fear of God and no respect for anyone. This is a judge who doesn't care about justice, and this is a judge who doesn't give a whit about the fate of the widow. Suffice it to say, life is stressful for this widow. She can't take one more thing. But see how this story unfolds. The widow, in her persistent desperation, keeps showing up to court even though the judge refuses to hear her case. But the widow just keeps showing up day in and day out. Because of her persistency, The judge starts to be concerned for himself. Our translation of the parable tells us that the judge was worried that the widow was going to wear him out by her continual demand for justice. A literal translation of the text reads something closer to that he was worried that the widow would give him a black eye. It's a boxing term. The terrible judge only shows concern for his reputation and for his personal safety, but in the end, he grants justice to the widow. The widow's persistence, her determination to just keep showing up, pays off. The judge relents. Now the parable ends here, but Jesus keeps talking. How much more gracious is God than this unjust judge? Will God not grant justice to his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? No, Jesus says, God will quickly grant justice to those who cry out for justice, because God is so much more gracious and so much more loving and so much more righteous than this unjust judge. God loves God's children, so God will quickly grant justice. All is right with the world. Unlike many other parables, the trouble with this parable doesn't come from within the parable itself. This is a wonderful parable. The widow, who we are rooting for, gets what she needs and deserves. The trouble with this parable is the difference between the world of the parable, in which persistent supplication is answered, and our world, in which injustice seems to reign, and in which prayers seem to be seldom answered. This is one of the great quandaries of being a thinking Christian. On one hand, there is the vision and the hope of the reign of God, and we pray that it may be on earth as it is in heaven. On the other hand, there is the day-to-day reality, and far too often, it's a far cry from heaven. But this parable, which Luke tells us is about the need to pray always and to not lose heart, is being told by Jesus. This is the same Jesus who fully embodied the human experience and who perhaps knows more acutely what an unanswered prayer is like than any other person. It was common for Jesus to spend whole nights devoted to prayer, and one particular night ended particularly badly. You know the story. Jesus knows that he is going to be handed over to be crucified, and so he prays for deliverance. Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Luke adds that in his anguish, Jesus prayed so earnestly his sweat became like great drops of blood falling on the ground. Jesus knows what it's like to pray for something, to want it, to need it, to be desperate for it, and to not have it happen. But Jesus teaches us to pray anyway, and to not lose heart. Like the widow, we need to just show up day in and day out, week in and week out. If we wait until our lives are perfect and we are in the mood we think we need to be in order to properly pray, then we are never going to get around to actually praying. We don't have to have the right words or the right candles or the right music or the right beads, a clean house, or 20 minutes of perfectly centered Zen-like silence. We don't even need to be in a good mood. In fact, some of the best praying happens in an absolutely foul mood. You should try it sometime. The important thing is that we show up. We just have to show up and keep showing up. Turn off NPR and WTOP, ride in silence for a while, and listen. Pour your heart out to God while you do the dishes. Log off of Facebook and allow yourself to be angry if you're angry, and tell God about it because God can take it. Surrender the good, the bad, and the ugly while you run on the elliptical. Acknowledge the deep longings of your soul while you walk your dog. Open the space for God. and flinging open the vulnerabilities of your soul, persist in the conversation. And know that we walk with a God who is more persistent than us. And that our relationship with this persistent God can transform us into something new. We just need to show up. We can trust that God is a God who has walked among us as one of us and knows the struggles and pain of life. We can trust that God is always present even when we are unable to feel God in our lives. We can trust that God hears our prayers even when they are answered in ways in which we would prefer not our prayers be answered. We can trust that in prayer, we can give to God whatever new challenges faces us, and we can find the strength to pick up that ringing phone and deal with one more thing. Amen.